Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Dad's Roundtable. We are walking through the book of James, and our goal here at the Roundtable is to be equipped and encouraged to set a spiritual climate, to leave a legacy of faith for the generations to come in our house. And I think that's really important for our dads and our men here at our church. And I'm joined again with me at the Roundtable is Jared and Mark. Guys, thanks for trucking along with me through the book of James. We're learning about obedience. We're learning about God's moral standard and how we have a living faith, but that living faith should be shown or expressed through our conduct and our character. And so last episode, we talked about taming the tongue. Now we're going to talk about different types of wisdom, including worldly wisdom versus godly wisdom. So Jared, get us going here. Guys, we're at the end of chapter 3. Jared, would you summarize for the guys that are reading along, starting in verse 13?
Yeah, absolutely. So, two types of wisdom, right? Earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. I'm sure you all have probably been in a situation where somebody gave you really bad advice, and you were able to know right off the bat, you know, that doesn't really sound right, right? That's because we have something else to compare it to, where we know, maybe I should check that again. So James is going to continue through here with our thoughts, our actions, our words, and how those are so important as people of faith, that these thoughts, actions, words should change based on our faith, that our faith in God should help us live differently, act differently, speak differently. And so he's going to transition here as we go into verse 13, like, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Now, he's going to set up for us this comparison again between earthly wisdom and godly wisdom. Our heading here says wisdom from above, right? Mm-hmm. And he's going to say that there is a wisdom that in the moment seems good to us, but that is not really wise, and that it's often rooted in two things: jealousy and selfish ambition. As we continue reading at the beginning of verse 4, he'll expound on that point. If you want to, let's read. I think, Mark, you're going to read for us today.
Yeah.
Read chapter 4, verses 1 through 10.
What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot attain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scriptures say he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell within us, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you.
Wow. So what's standing out to me is that pride and humility are the issues here. Mm-hmm. Is pride leading me, or is a humbled life leading with humility? Is that the driver? Verse 12, we're not in verse 12 yet. I jumped ahead. But it's that theme. If you read ahead to verse 12, who do you think you are? Mm-hmm. Is kind of the theme for me when I read James, is who do you think you are?
Yeah.
What's the motivation of my heart?
Absolutely. We've been quoting quite a bit in our previous episodes, mm-hmm, about the Sermon on the Mount. Well, James is going to go back way farther than that in this passage right here. We're going to refer to a story that, you know, if you're a church-going person, you've probably heard several times. If not, this comes to us from Genesis chapter 3, the story of the fall, the story of Adam and Eve. This is the story of Adam and Eve retold in Judea by James to these people. If you remember that story, or if you haven't heard it before, here's the brief summary, right? God creates the Garden of Eden. He's walking daily with his people, with Adam and Eve, and they have this idyllic lifestyle. And God says, hey, you have free reign of this place except for one thing. Like, just don't eat from this tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is the only rule. Just don't eat that fruit. You're good to go. One time the serpent shows up, and what he starts to do is he starts to implant this seed of doubt in Adam and Eve. He says, what did God tell you? Did God really tell you that you couldn't eat of this tree? Like, well, yeah, we can eat from the rest of them, but we can't eat from this one. And the serpent says, you know why? No, tell us why. He says, because God knows the difference between good and evil. And if you eat this fruit, you'll be like him. And to Adam and Eve, that sounds really good. Oh, so I can know what God knows? And the implication there is that I don't need him. How come he's the only one who gets to be God? What if I want to be God? What if I want to make those decisions for myself? And so the temptation for the fruit is not just that it looked good and tasty, mm-hmm. but that they could achieve what God has, that they could be on level footing with God, that they could take control of their own lives. Jealousy and selfish ambition, right? Yep. And so James is going to come to us in chapter 4 here. I love this. What causes quarrels and causes fights among you? I bet if we went back to our recent fights and quarrels, maybe it's with our spouses, maybe it's with our friends, maybe it's with, you know, the guy in line at Walmart, like whatever it is, mm-hmm. I bet if we boil it down, we get pretty close to jealousy and selfish ambition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that these are these temptations, these false wisdoms. We talk about that for a second. Why is selfish ambition false wisdom?
Well, doesn't the heart is deceitful. Mm-hmm. And as I grow in likeness of Christ, the things of the world, like he says, you cannot be friends with the world and love God. If you love the world, you're going to be enemies with God. You can't have both. It's that old churchy saying, be in the world but not of the world. The contrast gets sharper. The closer, the more I'm growing in Christ likeness, that contrast gets sharper. Yeah. And then that encourages me or informs the way that I resist the devil going forward.
Yeah.
And then I like that he says, resist the devil, but then not just that, but draw near to God.
Yeah.
So say no to sin, sure, but you also need to draw near to God. And as we draw near to God, then we're equipped and encouraged mm-hmm. and motivated to resist the devil even more.
Yeah, that goes back to the we need to replace something with something better.
Yeah.
So we're replacing the devil and the thoughts that are coming from him, mm-hmm. and we're now replacing it with wise, godly thoughts.
Because ambition's not bad.
Right.
Selfish ambition is what he's calling out.
Yes.
And my heart is selfish unless I lean into and I allow the work of the Spirit to take hold, right?
Yeah. And I think, so back to that idea, kind of a false wisdom, right? That in that moment, selfish ambition makes so much sense to our earthly self, right? That, why wouldn't I do that?
mm-hmm.
Yeah? Like, why wouldn't I take advantage of this opportunity? You know, if somebody's going to tell me, you know, under the table that this is going to, why wouldn't I do that?
Right.
Why wouldn't I take him?
Take advantage of the opportunity.
I'd be dumb not to.
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, or unless say like, oh, I could make a ton of money off that. Well, God could use that, right? So why wouldn't I just take the money and then I can figure it out later? It sounds so wise in the moment that, yeah, I should do that. It's false wisdom, right? It's motivated by selfishness. It's motivated by selfish ambition. The problem with that is that it will fail you,
mm-hmm.
right? Like you will get, it may work out for a little bit and you may feel pretty good about it, but somewhere along the line, if that's where your hope is, that's what you're using to judge wise and unwise, it's going to fail.
Yes.
And then you're in real trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're chasing something that's not going to last.
Absolutely.
And then when it all does come crashing down,
because
it eventually will, whether it's a layoff or a phone call or a diagnosis, something will come crashing down. Who do you have your hope and trust in?
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. You know, like asking, he's going to continue there, right? You ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly. Mm. God's like, I know what your heart is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had this the other day, like my son walked in the kitchen. He's like, hey, Dad. I said, yeah. He's like, do you know where the scissors are? all right, I have a lot of questions, right?
Okay. Like, how old's your son?
He's five, just turned five.
Okay, so,
so barely over four, like, you know, just turned five. Like, all right, I have a lot of questions. Yeah. Yeah. But I could, you can just tell, right, from the way he asks it, he's up to something.
Yes.
You know, God's like, you ask, but I know what you're after.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what are you trying to cut? Yeah. Like, can we talk about that? Like, mm-hmm. I don't see any construction paper out here. Yeah. Like, where are we going with this?
Yes.
Like, there are a lot of ways this
could
go. It
better not be your sister's hair.
It better not be hair. Yes. Don't touch the shower curtain.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking about here? You ask and you don't receive because your motives are wrong.
Right.
Right. And God's like, I see that. We all see it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've been there too.
Which is, you know, James kind of gets the broad brush of it's the work-based book.
Mm.
Show your faith by your works.
Yeah.
Show your faith by what you do. Show your faith by your conduct.
Mm-hmm.
But so many times, and that's another verse that calls back to the heart of the believer, calls back to the heart of the motivation of why do I live the way that I live?
Yeah.
God already knows that. He's already there.
Yeah.
He goes, that's where he starts. And if we just start with our work and say, there, I did it, it kind of gets that order backwards of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah.
There's a part of me, and there was a season of my life that I would just rather love the Lord my God with all my strength and stop there.
Yeah.
Then I'll work back to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
When we get that flipped, now we're in a works-based religion, which what was the response in the fall in Genesis 3 was they clothed themselves and they hid.
Yep.
They were trying to make right what went wrong.
Yep.
If we get that backwards, if we focus on the conduct and not the origin or the motivation behind that conduct, we'll fall into that trap as well, right?
Yep. And you mentioned earlier, so really getting into two kind of narratives here. We called it earthly wisdom and godly wisdom, also pride and humility.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to what James says, right, as he goes through. We talk about selfish ambition and jealousy. These are really the motivations behind so much of our strife and our fights and our quarrels. And then he's going to tell us, kind of beginning in verse 7, some prescriptive action, like how do we start to combat this? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We talked about Genesis 3 earlier, the story of the fall. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And that, I think, is so often the battle within our heart, is that especially as men, like, we want to rule things and we want to be in charge and we want to take control of stuff. And sometimes it's like, I don't really know that I want God to be my savior, but not necessarily my Lord.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want him to tell me what to do. I want to be the king. I want to have the knowledge of good and evil. I want to be on the same footing as God.
Yeah.
And so James says, well, the first thing you have to do is you have to submit to God.
Mm-hmm.
You have to submit and realize that he is Lord, he is God, and accept your role as not God, right? We as dads, as men, have to admit that we are not God.
Yeah.
That's the first step. Submit to God, and then the serpent comes to you and says, hey, I got a deal for you. You take a bite of this, you'd be like God.
Mm-hmm.
Resist the devil and what?
He'll flee.
He flees from you,
yeah.
Right? James is looking back at Genesis chapter 3. And teaching us all about pride and humility.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That word submit, my understanding, according to blueletterbible.org.
So I'm not, there we go.
I'm not a Greek scholar, but that is, guys, if you're looking for just a little background commentary, and what was the Greek word for that? So my understanding is submit is two words. It's ordered underneath.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a military type analogy that there's a commanding officer that I report to. And it's not a submit like you're in a UFC fight and you got to tap out. There's that does happen to some of us in our faith journey. But the term submit is there's order underneath. And what is God a God of? He's a God of order, not of chaos.
Yep.
And so when we try to subvert his kingdom with our lowercase k kingdom, we're adding chaos to the world.
Yep.
We're not living under his kingdom. And his kingdom can be here on earth. You mentioned that a few episodes ago, that his kingdom is here on earth.
Yeah.
Am I living in it or am I trying to fight against it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then kind of at the end of that section, verse 10, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. we spend so much of our lives trying to climb it ourselves, right? To earn that status, to earn that next promotion, to earn that next bit of notoriety, to get there ourselves by our own merit. And James says, but if you humble yourselves, God will do that. God will take care of it. And I think we even look in our world that when that happens, it's received so much better than I think of like the celebrity who like gets pulled over and you have this dash cam video of them going, don't you know who I am? Right?
Yeah.
That's you immediately hear that and you go,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
Like who is, you know, who do you think you are?
Yes.
Exactly.
That's,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was verse 10. My notes had it wrong. It was verse 10. I wasn't jumping ahead, but that who do you think you are? I have to preach that to myself.
Yeah.
It's not just a quick reminder. There are things that I need to keep in front of me that preach that to me because I will quickly drift in the other way of fulfilling my own selfish ambition. Yeah. And then Paul considers that in, what is that, Philippians chapter 2, watch out for your selfish ambition and vain conceit, but consider yourself less compared to your brothers and sisters. Have humility and conduct with them.
Yeah.
Then he unpacks after that, here's what Christ did.
Yeah.
So you think you're so humble and you think you're giving up a lot. Here's what he gave up.
Yep.
That's a good connection here with James. So Paul and James are not at odds in the way that they approach faith. They're actually two sides of the same coin, I think.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Mark, that selfish ambition and vain conceit, the jealousy, that leads us into verse 13.
Yeah.
So boasting about tomorrow is what the header says. Basically, what we look at is with that selfish ambition, I know what's best.
Mm-hmm.
I know where I'm going to go. I know what kind of work I'm going to do. And he even says, I know what kind of profit I'm going to make. Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to make a profit. I have that much control over the outcome. And James pauses and he reminds them, what is your life? You're a mist. It's just a short time.
Yeah.
Here you think you have control over time, over the duration of time. You're going to spend, you know, a year or so doing this and that, where you're going to go, but you're a mist. Instead, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wills. Yeah. So is that just the qualifier that we as men just need to live in, is lead every decision off with, if the Lord wills.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think of being slow to speak, slow to anger. So if we take time and process, I have a great example of this. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've got a bunch of small businesses that I've started 20, 30 years ago.
Serial? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah. That would be nice. I've had a bunch of little small businesses. My first larger business with like multiple employees and a physical location and all that it took off. I had a 7-year plan to pay off this business. In about 7 months, I paid it off. So 6 years ahead of schedule and everything. And I just thought, oh, I figured this out. Yeah. Well, this is pretty easy.
Yeah.
And go to the next location and didn't really think too much about it. Like, I've got to figure it out. This is easy. Just the first one, it was years of time of preparation and praying. And is this the right thing? And as I was entering into that, my wife was asking me, should we do this? What happens if it doesn't work? You know, we're weighing the cost. We're trying to figure out, we're building this tower. Let's figure out how much it's going to cost before you build it, that kind of thing. But the second one, I just had this, I know what's going on. I'm going to be able to do this and jump right in. And that one did not work as well. And it was humbling to start to see, well, just because it worked the first time doesn't mean it's going to always work the second time. I need to still have the same contemplation and thought and looking for God's wisdom and his guidance in this situation. And so I felt this firsthand, that's hard. And in larger businesses too, that it's a long time before you can unwind that and feel that consequence for a long time.
Yeah. We had this moment where James says here, like, if you're going to talk about tomorrow, you better include if the Lord is willing, right? Because it's all his plan. We used to have this preacher at my home church growing up. He's a big old guy. His name was Don. He had a big Southern accent. But he would always close his sermons and he would always say, thanks for being here today and worshiping with us. And we'll see you back here next Sunday Lord willing. Lord willing. Yeah. And he said it every time. And I was like, can we not just say, like, we'll come back next Sunday? Yeah. I've been here every Sunday of my life. You know, I've been here. I feel like these Sundays are never going to end. Like, I will always be here. Like, can't you just say we'll be here next Sunday? Yeah. Yeah. But then, like, I started to learn more about him and get to know him more. And he just took that so seriously. And he was like, this is not my work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This church is not my church. Mm-hmm. This building is not my building. And the calendar is not even my calendar. Yeah. And you know what? I hope to be here next Sunday, but it all depends on if the Lord wills it or not. Mm-hmm. And that was it. Now all of a sudden he would end that message and he would say, Lord willing. And it meant something different to me. Mm-hmm. That phrase actually started, again, James, started to change how he viewed the world.
Yeah.
Right? This is God's plan. You know, even next Sunday is not guaranteed. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. You know, and if the Lord wills it, we might be here.
Yeah. I heard a saying one time. Work like you're going to live forever, but live like he's coming back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to have ambition. It's okay to start up new businesses. It's okay to put in that effort and work.
Save for the future.
Not what he's saying.
Yep.
But live, conduct yourself, especially among other believers and of the world, that he's coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what I pick up on when I read something like, if the Lord wills, because he may not will it, then that's going to be very painful for me to learn.
Yeah, so. Just, absolutely.
And it helps you just not take things for granted.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I woke up today, you know, I took that for granted. Yeah. Waking up today is a blessing. Mm-hmm. It was not guaranteed. But so every time you're thinking, if God wills, I mean, just that I woke up was his will today.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with that. I didn't choose to wake up. I mm-hmm. didn't choose to have breath in my lungs. So even at that just core thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Acknowledge the blessings that you are living in. Mm-hmm. Kind of goes back to the chapter one of living through the trials and persevering and maturing and growing. And your son with the interview didn't get the job, but don't count it. The whole thing wasn't loss. Like you could learn through that experience. There's other connections that can be made that as you're living out this ambition, as you're living out this goal for a career and a future, along the way, just factor in, how can I live according to God's will and not just my own will?
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's good.
Be faithful in the position you're in. That's what I jotted down in that section. Just be faithful where you are. Don't look too far ahead. Mm-hmm. Just know where you're planted and grow in that. So,
verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. So, we know the right thing to do and we don't do it. So that's something that, you know, if you're holding back, you're not actually doing something. Mm-hmm. That's the sin. Because oftentimes, like, I might think, well, I'm not sure what to do here, so I'm just not going to do anything. It's better than not do. If you know what the right thing to do is and you don't do it, it's a sin.
And it looks like it's the arrogant, it's the prideful, it's the lack of humility that gets in the way of that. So do they call that the sin of omission? So there's sin of commission. You've committed a sin.
That's
but the sin of omission, of not doing something that you know that you should do.
Absolutely.
And arrogance and pride will just muddy that whole thing, and you just will miss out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is the parable of the Good Samaritan.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like that there were these people who, the priest and the Levite, who walked by and said, this is gonna mess up my cleanliness thing right here. I got to go be ritually clean again. I see this guy. Like, they were leaders in faith. Like, they knew what they should have done.
Yeah.
But possibly that pride of their position or of their cleanliness as they're headed to the temple. Well, if I get there and now I'm ritually unclean and I can't perform my duties, so I'm going to have to go through this whole cleansing thing again. And like, it's just a whole mess. Somebody else will take care of it, right? If you know what you should do and that pride keeps you from doing it, James says, that's a sin, right? Yeah. That is the sin of omission. You know what you should do.
And James is known as the wisdom literature in the New Testament, and wisdom is doing the right thing when rules don't apply. Mm-hmm. And if I know what the right thing is because the wisdom of God is informing me and still refuse to do it, that's sinful. James is calling that sinful.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up that chapter four. Next episode, we'll pick up in chapter five. There's a great connection there with prayer, and I think our dads leading in prayer— I think we need to remind ourselves how impactful dad's faith in the house can have on generations to come. There's a lot of stats behind the influence that dad can have about spiritual things in the household, and we'll talk about that. But let's wrap up this chapter, end of chapter 4. Jared, would you pray for our dads and that we can stay focused and lean into the Lord's will?
Yeah. God, thank you for this opportunity to open your word. And God, to have you fill us up with your spirit. And so, Father, I just pray for all those who are listening. I pray for us here at the table, Father, that as we open your word and we continue to dive in, that you would shape us and mold us and help us to be the men and dads that you have called us to be. And Father, as we talk today about wisdom, God, false wisdom and earthly wisdom, I just pray that we would turn more and more to you. That as we ask for direction, we ask for guidance, that we ask it of you and not of ourselves, that you would help us to put aside selfish ambition, that you'd help us to see what we need to do and give us the courage and strength to do it. God, we just are so grateful for you and for the love and grace and mercy that we have in Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.